Good evening. It's a little grey and cold here in the south coast of Kent, and I've got the gas hob on. I've just popped the griddle pan over, and tonight I'm using groundnut oil, which is 100% peanut. I don't know how chemicalised this is. I need to research, but I am dropping the seed oils because they're so well, they're so chemically processed, and rapeseed oil was originally designed as a engine lubricant, and it's only by a great deal of chemicalization that they get it to the point where we can eat it. And of course, somebody like McDonald's will then reprocess it as biofuel, so that doesn't really say an awful lot about how good it is going into your body. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't tend to sort of think, I'm terribly thirsty, I just want to drink some castor oil. No. Right, so the trick is to get the pan really, really, really hot. But of course, I haven't got the patience to do that ever. But the main reason for using groundnut oil is, to my mind, the more expensive the oil, the less you're going to use, because you want to be economical. Groundnut oil is used in Chinese wok cooking to get the hottest, fastest fry. And so tonight, I've just cooked some kale and red pepper, and I'm going to pop some mushrooms into the pan to get things going. And I've got a rump steak. Now, it's not a big rump steak, pardon me, but it is a pretty thick rump steak. And I've cooked a couple of these from the same pack last week, and I had tremendous success with them, so I'm really looking forward to it. I always say it's not the price of the steak or the cut of the steak, it's how you fry it, and it's all about attention to detail, So I'm just going to get the pan nice and warm by popping the mushrooms in. Right or wrong, everyone has a different way of manipulating their foodstuffs. I've just been given a challenge to learn the minute waltz in under a minute in 3 days. I'm not sure how many minutes there are in 3 days, but anyway, let's see what we can do. Right, so let's get that going. Nice little bit of sizzle. Who doesn't like a bit of sizzle? Now, my sort of all-time favourite go-to wine for a steak is, in fact, Syrah or Shiraz. That's the grape variety. And that's the grape variety that's got the amazing component in it, which is the same as you get in black pepper. I forget what it's called, but it begins with R. We'll have to research it. Anyway, so tonight what I've got here is the remains of a bottle of Cros Hermitage Cave d'Etain 2018, and it's 14%. So it's a very, very strong, very delightful red wine. And let's have a little look at this. Right, so on the nose, I've got a lot of blackcurrant fruit and bramble, that spicy pepper kick that you really, really want. And on the palate, oh yes. There's a fair bit of tannic grip, but it's mellowed, It's obviously in there, but 6 years into the blend, it's really balancing perfectly. I'm getting a lot of savoury, I'm getting a lot of, the black pepper spice, a little bit of licorice, tiny bit of saddle leather, a bit of forest mushroom. But, essentially, there's a good bit of blackcurrant and bramble. And that sort of tartness you expect from damson as well. Very good. Right. So here I am on the south coast. We've had a pretty grey day. I don't know about you, it's been raining most of the time. But there it is. Now, what I've got today is I've got a griddle pan, and I've got Jamie Oliver by Tefal. What would you call it? A spatula, I suppose. But it's absolutely magnificent for getting under a steak and turning it over. But I'm just going to sift the mushrooms for a moment and get them going. Now, if you want a really good charcoal-grilled sort of effect without spending a lot of time in the pan, you get your fat really hot and you do your steaks on 1 minute each side. And then, you know, it's up to you then how long you do for a second take on them. But if you don't mind a bit of sizzle and, you know, a bit of here, there and everywhere, add a little bit of Liam Perrins and red wine, only a little bit, you know, drops, literally, onto the steak. And then as you turn the steak and then you apply that again on the other side, you're going to get the most incredible char-grill, fantastic flavours just from that. You know, don't, for goodness sake, don't put too much in because it will just explode everywhere. But it's a good old tip that I've been using for years now, just to get a really fantastic effect on the outside of a steak. And never worry about how, you know, brown or even black the outside of your steak looks. What really matters is what's going on in the centre. And this is why I like a steak that's, you know, at least an inch thick, ideally, because I get the pan as hot as I can for that 1 minute sear on each side, but it's then, you know, how long you can manage to centre it without obviously overdoing it. And it's not a bad thing to put a little bit of foil over the steak as you go, but again, you've got to practice this. There's a great deal of technique in there. So ultimately, you know, try and underdo the steak rather than overdo the steak, and pop it on a plate. A warm plate is ideal, and then pop it under a lightly warm grill, but not with the grill on, you know, just pop it in there for a bit with covered in foil, a couple of layers of foil if you can, and like a tea towel would be ideal as well. And the idea is to let it rest for as long as you fried it in the first. Okay, that's just, you know, the gist of how to do a good steak. And I have to say that once I've brought the steak off the pan and onto the plate for the first time before covering it with the foil, I do love to slosh on some 12-year-old Oloroso. Now, you can do Spanish brandy, red wine, whatever you want to put on, but I have to say 12-year-old Williams & Humber Oloroso, or the Wine Society's Dry Oloroso, that is the ultimate, you know, perfection for your steak. Right, so I'm just thinking right now about a plate. So I'm just going to pop these mushrooms on a plate. I'm going to cover them with the foil, and then I'm going to get the steak going. But I'm just going to add a little bit more oil to the pan, but only a tiny bit, because you don't really need to add oil to the pan. Ideally, you just brush the oil onto each side of the steak. It depends how sloppy your cooking skills are. Mine are terribly, terribly sloppy. Ideally, for this, you really want one of those pastry brushes, but I don't think I have one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the steak and I'm just going to pop it into the pan. I'm going to pop a tiny bit of oil on one side and flip it over quickly. Right. There we are. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to time it on here for a minute. There we go. And I've got the Liam Perrins to hand. So, you know, the thing is, if you've had a grey day, it's a bit rainy and so on, there's nothing quite like doing a little bit of cooking in the evening to cheer yourself up. And if you haven't got a lot of wine, you know, maybe just pour yourself a beer beforehand while you're doing the actual cooking. What I'm doing at this moment is I'm just finding a tea towel to pop over those mushrooms, and I'm going to pop them under the grill area for a moment while I really focus in on the steak. Now, you know, you say a watch pot never boils, but I do think when you're dealing with a steak, it's not the most expensive, so it wants a lot of delicate, tender, loving care. And I just want to give it, you know, a good bit of sizzle here. I want to really focus in. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put a tiny dab of oil and Liam Perrins now on the top, and I'm going to give that other side a minute, and then we'll see where we go from there. Every steak is a slightly different shape and it needs a slightly different attention to detail. There we go. Right, flip. Now, I don't know whether the pan is as hot as it can get, but there's only one measure on this hob, so you know, I'm getting some nice looks there. Very nice. The point of a griddle pan is it gives you those lines, and then if you can work out which angle you know to flip it to, you can get the crisscross. But again, don't worry too much about how the outside of your steak looks. What matters is the total overall effect. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pour ever so slightly a little tiny bit of red wine on it. We're going to get a bit of a sizzle, I think. Beef does like, it loves red wine, and it loves brandy, and it loves oloroso. I'm not saying you couldn't throw some martini on it, but I don't buy this stuff, so I don't know. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a little bit of foil, I'm going to double it over, and I'm just going to place it over the steak, because I've got the doors open, it's fairly cool in here. And it's just going to take forever to cook if I'm not careful. It does help if you can remember where you put the foil. Oh, here it is. Right, so let's see what that does. Da-da-da. You've got to be a little bit of inventive. It's almost like outdoor cooking, you know. What I try to reconstruct when I'm pan frying a steak, I try to reconstruct a barbecue sort of effect. So it's going to be quite charcoal-y on the outside, but it's going to be a pink-red, beautifully melting in on the inside. That's the general idea, and it usually happens. I don't have an exact science of how many minutes I do it in some, because every steak is so different. You've just got to do this intuitively, you know? Anyway, pour yourself something delicious, and let's crack on. A little tiny dab of Liam Perrins here. I'm going to give that another 30 seconds or so, and then I'm going to flip the steak and see where we're going. So what I'm doing this summer is I'm trying to basically hit a low carb diet, and do a lot of walking, because I want to reduce my waistline by 3 to 4 inches if I possibly can, and I think I can with a bit of attention to detail and dedication. And I want to be able to say to myself, this winter I'm not going to be able to wear the jeans I wore last winter. They're going to be too big, they're just going to fall off me. And that's my, you know, my definition for come on, I can do this. So I've basically found that Tesco's in Tenterden do a pack of 4 rump steaks, which are good, pretty much an inch thick, for £10.25. So I thought to myself, what a brilliant idea. You only need some kale and mushrooms or whatever with them. And, you know, that's 4 days' dinner. So obviously you've got some red wine. So, hear that sizzle there. Bit of red wine. There we go. Right, so I'm just going to give that another minute or so to sort of moulder into itself. Yeah, so that's Wednesday to Saturday. Sunday I'll have some kind of fish, and Monday and Tuesday I always have something like an omelette, because those are my 2 really busy working days where I have to go out, you know. So the rest of the time, what my main other meal is going to be grated carrot, grated cheese, grated apple, a bit of cucumber, maybe some black olives, and that's it really. And the point is, if you start to get a little bit hungry, maybe squeeze a grapefruit and an orange together and have that as juice, and then just say to yourself, okay, meal substitute, and go out for a walk. So you're basically exercising rather than eating, you know. The point is that after a while of no carbs, your body starts to, you know, balance itself brilliantly, and carbs just end up then giving you a headache. And coming off carbs is very, very similar to coming off tobacco, because when you smoke, you think you need it, you can't imagine life without tobacco. But once you start to live without it, you realise you can live without it, and you can thrive, you see. So I think this is the essence of it. We've just got to try and convince ourselves we can be a bit healthier. Now, this is all looking very, very good. I've got a very char-grilled side here. What's this one doing? Yeah, I think that's absolutely fantastic. I've probably murdered it, you know, because I've been chatting. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put it on the plate with the mushrooms, and I'm just going to leave it under the grill for 2 or 3 minutes with the foil on. There we are, and I'm just going to dab some oloroso on. Let's try this oloroso. Pop you on. Oh, brilliant. And cover with the foil, cover again with some more foil, and then pop the tea towel right over and under the grill area, and you can just fester there for a little bit. So it's just called resting the steak. And I've also got the kale and pepper. I don't always have that much vegetables. Sometimes it's just nettles. Last time it was nettles. Sometimes it's just mushrooms. Sometimes it's just kale or just onions or whatever. You know, if you've done a steak really nice and you've got a fantastic red wine, you really don't need that much with it, to be sure. So I hope you've enjoyed the sizzling. I'm going to give this amazing wine 5 stars. You can buy it in Sainsbury's or Waitrose. It's Cros Hermitage. It's the cheapest end of the Hermitage, which is the Northern Rhone Syrah Viognier wines of tremendous ancient tradition. They've been growing them up there since before Roman times. And You know, I don't know how much you're looking at a bottle now. I bought this in 2018 at £10 and it went up to £12. It's probably at least £15 now, but it's well worth it. And if you do buy one, buy two and sell a one, okay? Adios.